How quickly can you record a episode of this podcast? The answer is quick, because we have to.
Pretty quick.
No, today, right now, let's do it.
Podcast speed run, let's go.
Boom.
Theme song,
that's it.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Implications of Phineas and Ferb podcast.
There's 365 days in a gap year, and uni's gonna come and end it. So the once in a lifetime problem for us is to find a good way to spend it.
Making a podcast.
That was a good theme song.
And it's going to be fucking quick.
Yeah, we got to
We can talk fast, so this is going to be good.
Yep. We are in person, which is why we got to be quick.
Which is great. The only reason I was here late is because I spent 20 minutes at a bus stop for a bus that was never going to get there, because that lying the Google
censorship
said that it was going to be there, and I believed her. What a fucking idiot. Until I was like, where the fuck are these buses? I'm only seeing the 300 buses. I'm looking for the ones that start in a 4. And so I look at the little bus stop thing, and it's like, no, get fucked, you stupid idiot. It's 400s don't come here. You only got these ones. And I'm like, get the fuck. So then I walk to the next bus stop, which is a little bit longer, and then immediately I find a bus, and I'm like, Google, I used to trust you, and now you can't even tell me what the right bus stop is.
I'm going to need to censor so much.
There's a lot of swearing in the first 20 seconds. All right. We've got an episode, season 2, episode
24.
Whew.
We've got Just Passing Through / Candace's Big Day. Mm-hmm. You've got Just Passing Through. Go, go, go. Start telling us.
Welcome back to the Implications of Phineas and Ferb, where we discuss the implications of Phineas and Ferb. I'm Joseph in a hurry, and you're
Lachlan, and I'm much more chilled out because I got nowhere to be.
Exactly. And I have to get home, otherwise I'll be late for work. So this is going to be fantastic. So we get Just Passing Through and the other one.
Candace's Big Day.
Yep, cool. Mm-hmm. Just Passing Through is how I'm feeling right now. And basically they make a phasing machine.
Yes, they do.
They become fission.
They chuck an Ant-Man and they build a quantum something that allows them to just do things.
They scramble their molecules and scramble them back again.
They quantumify their quantum particles.
And in that little song, they break out of prison, put their head through a billboard so they can be a part of the billboard, which I thought was cute and quite clever.
But why do they build this machine?
So they can go through their own wall and get Mum's lucky pick.
Mm-hmm. Lucky guitar pick.
Instead of them hiring a contractor to rip the wall open.
Let me tell you, as a musician myself.
Yes.
I am never going to have a goddamn lucky guitar pick. That is the stupidest idea I've ever heard.
So easy to
lose. I'll have a lucky guitar, but a guitar pick, you have 400 of them at any given time and they should all be disposable.
Yeah, because they're cheap as shit. And Candace has a really cool line. She's just like, I want to get a pink streak in my hair. And she's like, why would you want to do that? To express my individuality. Everyone else is doing it. Which is great. It still happens like that today, I think. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are like, oh, I want to be individual by doing what everyone else is doing to say that they're individual.
No, children will never change. That's always the way that it works. True. He says that like he's not also still a child.
Doof is crazy.
I'm not a child. I'm 19.
Yeah, you're a big boy.
Whoa.
Now. You know Abby?
Yeah.
Well, you can censor the word. She's 20 now. Yesterday, she turned 20.
Good God. I need to wish her a happy birthday. She's lovely.
Yeah, you should. And also, what the fuck? I'm not 20.
We're not adults.
I'm not becoming 20. I'm like, I kind of don't want to wish you a happy birthday just because
I don't like that to confront like my own mortality. Yeah.
Yeah, no. I'm getting big now. Mm. I still think 17's a good age for me.
Yeah, 17's like kind of your ideal age because you're like a dancing queen and you're not 16, but you're not 18. It's
you're
like
dancing to the beat of the tambourine. Like, it's
exactly.
Great. Doof is crazy. He makes a bobblehead of Perry.
Yeah, Doof's finally lost it.
Yeah, if you make a bobblehead of anyone, something's gone wrong. Like, unless you're pop vinyl.
Fuck, I gotta hide my bobblehead of you.
Yeah, I know. I can imagine how sexy that would be. But also,
do the podcast with a bobblehead version of you. And what did you think of this joke? Beautiful insight on my co-host, Joe. It's too early in the morning. We've got a little bit insane.
That's true. All sorts of shit happens. And then he also has to call NRMA, which I found quite funny, because he breaks his car. He locks his keys in his car, and then he calls NRMA, and they're like, yeah, we'll come out, bruh. For those who have no idea what I'm talking about, NRMA is our car insurance, and they're usually the ones you call for roadside assistance.
They are, yes. And get 2 months of free NRMA roadside assistance if you sign up now.
Yes, sponsor us. I'd be sponsored by NRMA.
Yeah, I'll take that.
I'm not with NRMA, but I would I'd be sponsored by them.
Tell you what, if you set up the swapping and you pay us money, I'll swap. and I'll tout your product.
And then I'll be like, it worked.
I have loyalty to no all the brands I have loyalty to right now.
I have loyalty to them
just simply because I'm using. Like, they haven't paid for me. If you're willing to pay for me, that's brand loyalty for life right there.
Yeah, just easy. And then all sorts of stuff happens. And then there's one point when the gang is about to be completely crushed with a steamroller.
Yeah, we're not doing plot synopses. We're just jumping from plot point to plot point.
And they get phased through it, luckily, because convenience.
Oh, we get the best line. Hold on, I'm saying this one. I will be Bajit.
You'll be Buford. Yep.
The steamroller nearly murders them, but luckily the ball that controls the phasing comes and the steamroller goes through them, and Bashir goes, did anyone else just see the inside of a steamroller?
He's like, how do you know what the inside of a steamroller looks like?
I have a life outside of you.
Which is just great.
I love the implication that Bajit has a secret steamroller involved life that he doesn't want to talk about.
Yeah, no, I love the implication that Phineas and Ferb say nothing and they're completely unfazed about phasing through a steamroller that would have murdered them without it.
I like the implication that there's something wrong with knowing what the inside of a steamroller looks like.
Yeah, he's like, how do you know what the inside of a steamroller looks
like? It's like, well, they've got windows. You can see in the compartment, like, from the outside.
No, like you mean... Alright, we're just gonna be... there's so much more...
The inside of the concrete block.
It takes them 12 minutes to... make a tire, to fix the tire, but they can build a roller coaster in a day. Bajit points it out.
That's another funny joke. Bajit just getting so pressed about them not being able to fix a tire. He's like, come on. You can build a roller coaster in a day, but you can't fix a tire in 12 minutes?
It's just doing our job for us at this point. I was like, that's so good. And then that's it.
What is it they say on CinemaSins? Bajit would be great at CinemaSins. Bajit would be great at Invocations of Phineas and Ferb.
He would be. Bajit would be.
So Bajit, if you're listening, come on the show. Actually, need to find who plays Bajit and invite them on the show.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
That's on the list.
That's on the list of all the other people we have and haven't been around to.
Yep, we've been too lazy.
All right, second one, what happens?
Okay, so this is the most important major plot point.
All right, make it quick.
Okay.
Okay. The okay guy is back. He's back.
We want the soundboard back for this. Get ready.
Yep. I'm smashing the button right now.
Okay.
Okay.
He's back.
He's the lifeguard, and they completely ignore that.
Yeah, but they also don't bring it up. No, wasn't he? Isn't the reason that Candace was able to lifeguard at Lake Nosy because they were related to the dude? Okay.
Oh, that would mean nepotism. That works.
I was pretty sure that was why it was.
No, I thought she was just a lifeguard with Jeremy, and that's why she wanted to go.
Oh yeah, because they're related to the.
Okay.
They're related to his wife. To him.
Yeah, they're related to his wife. That's their aunt.
Yeah, Linda's sister. They just never bring up the fact that they know him.
From
kind of iconic.
Yeah, and then when he was their boss, he was like, you're doing a horrible job.
He was like, okay.
Okay. Anyway, we don't ever get to see his wedding vows. Oh, that happens.
No, we don't, but you and me would discuss this.
They'd be like, she'd be like, oh.
Do you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband?
I do.
And do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded bride?
Okay. So good. But yeah, no, he proposes to her in front of
just on the couch.
Her sister and nephews.
And they're going to where is it they're going to the next day?
A safari.
So yeah, somewhere crazy. And he doesn't propose to her there, he proposes to her on the couch at their family place in front of the kids.
Anyway, he gets immediately roasted by Phineas, which is fair. He's just like a bit corny, but apparently it works. I'm like, hell yeah, Phineas, you're right. Don't do it.
Phineas is on some savage stuff this episode. Yeah, you think he's being nice with all the ice sculptures and stuff. Like, he really doesn't approve of how they live their lives.
He's not approving of this marriage. He's just nah. But also, you don't propose in front of your sister. Mm. That's weird as shit.
I also have written here, very important note, this is such a good show. that's your implication for this episode.
That happens later with Perry, but before we bring that up, the only reason the marriage happens at their house, in the backyard of Phineas and Ferb's house,
is because of Candace's issues.
Yeah, because Candace is like, you promised me 10 years ago. What the fuck?
10 years ago you were six?
Yeah, six. You remember this, and you were like... And now I am going to be a bridesmaid.
Do you have any memories from being six?
No.
No, neither.
Oh, hang on. I would be in, kindergarten?
Yeah.
Sam and I did a lot of shit in kindergarten. we were in kindergarten. Mm. so bad that they didn't put us in a class together despite us being of the same, like, intelligence until they had to in year 5 and 6 when we got into the gifted class.
Do you know what is amazing about my educational learning?
Mm.
My education was not a straight a linear line up or even exponential.
it was
a perfect, what do you call that one? Where it goes like, up and then like eventually flattens like to a complete plateau. Nearly. Yeah, like that logarithmic rounded curve. Because yeah. I never did kindergarten year one maths. I went straight to year two. And then in year 3 and 4, I was in the year 5 and 6 maths class. And then I did extension maths all the way up to year 10.
Advanced, yeah, I was there.
In year 9, I was doing year 12 maths. And once I hit year 12 maths, I never went further. So I did year 12 maths for 4 years.
Like the easy year to, but yeah, you got there and then you just were like.
I was like, no, this is my plateau.
I'm dropping out of advanced, like accelerated, so I'm going to advanced. And then you're like, no, I'm dropping out of advanced, I'm going to standard. And they're like, Lachlan, 2 years ago, you were ahead and now you're with everyone else. And you're like, yes, but I can do this course now. I've been doing it for 4 years.
I don't know. I wish I had the same amount of energy as I had in year 3 and 4 when I was doing year 5 and 6 maths. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know how I did that.
Wait for it. To university. Imagine. Oh, absolutely.
Imagine going to a university.
Anyway, so Candace pulls out this book of her actually doing something with her life. And she's like, I can plan this wedding. And they're like,
she's been planning it for 10 years. Very creepy.
Meanwhile, okay. Phineas and Ferb are like, we know what we're going to do today.
And meanwhile,
it takes us a day.
The other dude's like, okay. So okay. They're all down for it.
Yeah, which is actually quite funny because the mum and the person getting married, they go off and get all their stuff done. But the groom, he just sits at home and gets ready there, we assume. Anyway, Phineas and Ferb do 3 amazing things. Helicopters, Venus flytraps, and a huge ice sculpture. And Candace is having none of it. She's like, this isn't my wedding plan. What the hell are you doing? And I'm like, at this point, Candace, take a step back.
Chill out.
The boys have got it.
This is a situation where you need to just sit down with get a nice glass of juice or a cup of tea or whatever and just chill the fuck out and let the professionals handle it.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway,
outclassed here.
It turns out to go okay. She appears, all's good, have a lovely wedding, and it ends with, okay, Perry.
Okay. Oh, Perry's plot. Okay, so the actual meat and potatoes of this plot isn't anything special, in my opinion. Once we get up to the innata, I think it goes down, which is to say it goes from a 25 out of 10 just to a regular 10 out of 10.
Yeah, yeah,
that's true. It drops to its normal standard of perfect.
It starts with Perry.
So Perry comes up on the elevator and the elevator door opens and then Doof goes, ha-ha, enjoy your trip. And he pokes the floor one button.
Yeah,
and then the elevator just goes down. And Perry is like,
it goes down, and then it comes back up.
The elevator comes back up, and you're like, oh, Perry's going to be here, and the door opens, and
Doof
he's not there, and Doof's like, what? Where are you? And he walks in looking for him. Other elevator opens. Perry's there. He walks around, and he smashes every button on every floor, and then the door
just
closes. Doof's like,
closes.
Oh, no! And then he just walks into Doof's house.
Yeah, so he traps Doof.
He lets himself
in the elevator, and then just opens Doof's house and just walks in.
He's like, "This is mine now, I guess."
Waits on the couch while Doof has to sit there and see floor 20, and it just opens, close, open, close.
Floor 21. It's
hilarious.
It's
he just defeats him, and then
Doof arrives. He's like, oh, you didn't have to do that, Perry the Platypus. You could have at least gotten into your trap.
I've got a schedule. It's on the table, and Perry gets the rope
and then
like just puts it on like you would a jacket, and just sits there with this rope wrapped around.
And then Doof's surprised that he gets out later.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
he's like, how did you get out of the trap? And then he's like, oh, sorry, and he quickly puts it back on, and he's like,
and
good.
Demonstrates.
And then, yeah,
it has the same vibes as Aang in Avatar in that one episode where he's on trial for something Kyoshi did. If you haven't watched Avatar, you're really confused right now.
Yeah.
He's on trial for what Kyoshi did, and he's in like the classic style, like stocks hand thingy in the jail talking to the other prisoners. And they're like, well, you think you're a sweet guy? And he just pops his head out. It's like,
you really think I could? And he just starts talking about the Katara.
Mm.
Also, it reminds me of Man of Steel. The best moment in the entire movie where he has the handcuffs on and she's like, you let them put in the handcuffs? And then when he's like doing his big dramatic thing, he just
like kind of moves his hands. That's something I've really liked about the Snyderverse. I like how Superman doesn't move like a person on wires or anything. He moves just like everything that he does is so simple. Like the handcuffs, he doesn't like straight. He doesn't like go and like break them open.
No, he just literally moves his hands
like he normally would, and the chain just isn't enough to stop the basic movements of him. Like I think that's really well shot.
Yeah. Anyway, it's fantastic.
That's two like major tangents that just came out of absolutely nowhere. If you haven't watched either of those, I'm so sorry.
But it's like Perry's. He's in this trap because he's letting them be there, and then he just takes it off because. 100%. To prove it. And he just does it with a breath. He's just like...
He's just... Yeah, Perry's ripped as fuck as well, by the way.
Yeah, you'll see that on our Instagram. Let's lead straight into a plug.
100%. If you want to see ripped Perry, jump over the Instagram, Implications of Phineas and Ferb. If you want to... It probably won't be Twitter. On Twitter, but, you know,
you can go to Twitter
anyway.
Gmail.
It's the only social media I have notifications on for, so if you want to reach us, that's where you go.
And Gmail.
Gmail. We have got an email from the Gmail.
Oh, that's true. Get ready.
We got an email from friend of the show, Maria.
Maria.
She says, hello, it's me. How's university treating you? How's university treating you, Joe?
It's it's good. Some of it's good. Some of it's fantastic.
You're thriving. How's the work going? You done much?
Yeah, no, I've done a lot. Actually, I got my group project back and we topped it. I know, right? It's fantastic.
Nice.
For the boys who won't listen to this, Philip was amazing. So that's an inside joke for someone who isn't listening to it. But, you know, I feel good about saying it.
She continues.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely loved your Star Wars episode. My favorite part of that episode is that it's perfectly easy for someone who's never seen Star Wars like me to understand.
Oh, perfect.
That's amazing because that wasn't at all what we were thinking about.
Yeah, no, but I'm glad that's something we can do right. Because a lot of people, when they talk about Star Wars, just...
devolve into
and we can talk about the devolveness, but like and actually communicate, but like
I'm glad it went well. I'm very proud of the Star Wars episode as well. That was a fun episode.
I haven't re-listened to it.
Neither have I, but I remember it was fun to record. Now on to the meat and the potatoes of the question.
Yeah,
not just random meat and potatoes. Who is your favorite, Phineas and Ferb?
No.
We don't make
that. Is there a next question?
No answer there.
It's
the next question.
It obviously is Phineas because I relate more to him, but
100%.
No.
But yeah, no. We don't choose favorites. She says, which show in your opinion is better, Rick and Morty or Phineas and Ferb?
Ooh, fuck.
That's a tough one.
That is an actually good question because I so badly love both of them. I'd probably go Phineas and Ferb just because... Yeah, because
it means so much to us.
Yeah, and the amount of people can watch Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah, like, like, there's no one on earth you can't watch Phineas and Ferb with, but you can't watch Rick and Morty with a kid.
Or your mum. Yeah. I have watched it with my mum.
What Beth think of Rick and Morty?
I'm glad we didn't choose some of the more inappropriate episodes. I've forgotten which episode we watched, but yeah.
They've got kind of similar vibes in a way.
No, they're very similar because, like, meta... and adult themes in a kind of stylized cartoon, sci-fi adventure with crazy contraptions and stuff like that.
A lot of similar themes, but...
Two gods.
One is... But there's only one god in Rick and Morty.
Yeah, well, like, there's one god in each.
That's the biggest difference. That there's one blithering dumbass and one genius in Rick and Morty, whereas in Phineas and Ferb, everyone pulls through.
No, the difference is swearing.
That's also
very true.
And
drugs, and that's about it.
Hmm.
I so badly want a crossover because they could work so well together.
Yeah, that would be so good.
Get the four guys. Can you imagine how much just get them to make something?
Imagine how much Phineas and Ferb's brilliance would piss Rick off.
Yeah,
you think he's the best in the galaxy, and then he'd find out that he's not,
and
he'd be so mad. He's like, "Why does everything go right for you? Everything goes wrong in my life." And they'd be like, "Well."
And they're just kids who can do just amazing things.
Mm-hmm. That would be a,
and they literally do it just to have fun, and he's there just fucking around.
100%. And then the last bit she says, I was just wondering, hope you're having a great day. P.S. What is your favorite line from Doof so far from Rhea? So thank you for writing it to us, Rhea. Doof has a good line every single week. So
yeah, most times he does.
I'm going to say my current favorite is, you didn't even bother to get in your trap, it's on the table. Because that's a very good line.
That is a very good line.
That's from this current episode.
Yes, that is true. And he said...
I've got a favorite. The one where he goes, "You destroyed my plan A, but not to worry, I have a plan B," and it rises out from the background, and goes, then he "which I'm going to destroy." So now we're even. But luckily,
I'm not even prepared. Plan C. Oh, he's, I still love that's how unpredictable of you, Perry. And by unpredictable, I mean completely predictable. But he says impeccable, I think. Anyway, I love that.
Yeah,
so
I love
good.
That running joke. It is yeah, it's a
very good line.
And with that, I think we're done.
Yeah, we have to. So off to Central Station. Have a lovely day, people.
Yeah, 100%. Hit us up on them socials. And
what we used to end the podcast with? Oh, I remember. Mm? I know what I've done today.
I know what we've done today.
Holy shit, look at us go. Oh, geez.
The Implications of Phineas and Ferb. Listen to it whenever you can.